Now, I didn't come tonight to entertain you. I came tonight to instruct you, for that is the purpose of the Word of God. Now, we're going to get right to it right now. If you walk out of here tonight and choose to not embrace the Word of God, it is not my fault. If you choose to not embrace worship and receive the peace of God, it is not the praise band's fault. And if somebody comes to you and prays with you and speaks a word over you and you don't receive it, it is not their fault. We can't live in the blame game. There's no excuse there, especially for those of us who know better. Tonight, it is your choice to believe. It's your choice to take action. Most of all, it's your choice to be different. And I'm going to add one more thing to that. It's your choice to be different even when you suffer. And you can through renewed hope. I'm not leading you to renewed hope without telling you how you get a hold of it. We're going to go on. How do we renew our hope day by day? We must come into acceptance of the things we cannot change. Lord, I know that I can't do this. We must believe in our heart and receive in our spirit like it's already being done. That's a prayer of faith. Accepting the things we cannot change, praying by faith to receive them, and being thankful to God and worshiping Him for His glory. I'm going to lead you right now. If you don't even know how to pray this prayer, I'm going to show you right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. Father, I thank you. Lord, you see this situation before me. And God, I can't do anything about it. It's out of my control. And even as mad as I could get and as much as I could pay for and do, Lord, it is out of my reach. Somebody needs to get in with me right now. There's at least five or six of you that God has put in my spirit that needs to pray with me right now. God, there are things that are out of my control and I can't change them. But Lord, I believe by faith that you can. And God, I'm believing by faith that you will change this situation and work it for my good. Though I've been in a season where I'm poor, God, I believe by faith that you are going to increase in my life. God, I believe that though I've been sick in body, somebody receive this right now. By faith, I believe that I will be made whole. Father, I believe for my children that God, though they be astray, by faith I receive that they are delivered. God, I see those that are out there that I cannot change, but I believe by faith that you're moving. Because, Lord, I know, and this is the praise part, that you have been there for me in my darkest nights. And God, you saved me when I was unsavable. And Lord, you blessed me when I didn't deserve it. So God, I thank you for, because I know that if you did it for me, that you can do it for them. I don't know why God leads me some ways, but I know it's always for somebody. I don't doubt it anymore. I don't wonder anymore. Somebody needed to hear that tonight. If you're not operating in this by the privilege that God has given you, then you're not using it according to its purpose. You don't wait till Sunday to pray, because God didn't just leave access to be opened on Sunday. God's even better than Walmart. He's even open on holidays. He'll be open tomorrow when everybody else is closed up. And he never gets tired and weary of our troubles. Even greater than that, even when we get tired of ourselves, he doesn't forsake us, my friend. So when I read these lamentations, I see the human element of pain and despair. But then in the words, if you just read through that really quick, you'd miss those little nuggets that shows the element of faith out of the words of Jeremiah. Let's read it and finish it. The Lord is, verse 24, my portion. He was talking about God represents and fills in what makes me empty in life. I had a lot of friends once in my life. I don't have them anymore. But I don't feel any less because of what God has filled up in me. And though I get attacked on every side for what I do for God, I don't feel any less without support because He fills my emptiness. I don't feel any less of anything because God is there. Who can praise Him for that tonight? You might feel alone sometimes on this level, but God has never forsaken you. Glory be to the Lamb of God. He will fill you up. David said, "My cup runneth over." He was talking about representing an emptiness in him. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters, and He restoreth my soul." Oh, hallelujah. There is a restoration of hope for the church in this place right now, and it's by His anointing that we're renewed, and day by day by faith God will visit you and change your life, and He'll fill up those things that are empty. It's like the words of that song, "There's a roof up above me, I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family." Come on. "Thank you, dear Lord, for your blessings." I don't believe that song was wrote in a time of joy. I believe somebody wrote that in a time of pain. Verse 25, "The Lord is good unto them." We're going to bring this out. I don't want you to leave without any understanding of this. "Unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." God blesses those that are patient in suffering. That means to be devoted, whether you hurt or not. Some of the prayers I've prayed, Matt, when I've been in harm's way, weren't glamorous. They weren't eloquent. They weren't pretty. It wasn't, "Father, I thank you for this glorious day that you have enchanted for my eyes to behold." Sometimes all I could get out was, "God, I've had enough. And I need you." We don't have to wait for everything to be arranged perfectly before we open up our mouths and get things different in here. You're not going to have an eloquent enough of word that's going to change it. It's got to come from your heart. So many people have missed salvation because they thought it was just on the word level. But it has to be from your heart, because He wants to reach to the depths of your soul that you can be renewed every single day. "To the soul that seeketh Him." He blesses those that seek, obviously. The Bible says, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee." That's powerful. That was Him reassuring that you have daily access. Knocking is something that you do often if you visit people. And asking, whether you live alone or whether you live with somebody, you ask all the time. Sometimes you even ask yourself if you get hungry enough. Sometimes it'd be like 11:30 at night, and I know good and well I shouldn't snack that late. And I might ask Angela to make me a sandwich, and she clearly knows I don't need any more than what I already have. Trying to help me, you know, and remind me, "Well, you already ate earlier." So then I'll ask myself, "Well, Jared, why don't you get up and make yourself a sandwich? And I'll go and do it for myself." Whether somebody makes it for you or whether you go and do it for yourself, it's powerful to know that we can ask of God and that He'll hear us, even in the simplest of things. "Whatsoever ye desire," whatsoever you desire, whatever it is that is on your heart to change, God cares about those things. Let's read the last verse and we'll close. It is good that people, let's say that, should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. When we hope, we speak life. But when we're in times of torment, what comes out of our mouth? Discouragement, frustration, anger, bitterness, wrath, jealousies, envying, strife, all the things we read about in the New Testament. So when we read the phrase, "quietly wait," that doesn't mean just sit down and be quiet and never share anything good and wait for God to do it. But what that's talking about is in times that you are full of hope, to share life. And in times when you're suffering, to withhold your bitterness from coming forth out of you. Because if you can keep your tongue under subjection, God can move a whole lot faster when he's hearing faith and not faith mixed with doubt. Now, God's moved for me before in prayers where I was faith and doubt sort of intermixed. It's like, Lord, I know you can do it, even though that I don't see how. And God, I believe that you're going to bless abundantly, but Lord, if you can just bless me a little bit. God moves a whole lot faster in a heart full of faith. So when we read, waiting quietly on the Lord, that means take the things that would produce doubt out of your mouth and by the Spirit cause them to be gone. We've read that God is not the author of confusion. We read just on Friday that torment brings forth confusion, and in confusion, evil works are present. So when we don't operate daily in keeping renewed, we begin to be confused. We begin to walk without vision. And God doesn't want us to walk that way. He wants us to be full of his Spirit, renewed in hope daily, that when we encounter people, brother, that we can reach out to them on the street of our house, in our workplace, especially in where we claim that we have a church. I lament at times. I look back and see how things could have been so much better. Everybody can look in their own life and see that they could have done things better. But don't live in your past. Let the mistakes you make humble you to realize that without God, you can't do this anyway. And step out by faith and receive a new hope. He wants you to be renewed tonight. Let's open up the altar. Let's begin to seek God greater. If you are in need of renewed hope, we're here to share your pain. We're here to labor with you to get through this. Let us suffer with you that you not feel alone in this fight. The Bible says, and this is for, you know, people that say they can be just fine at home. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because it was meant for us to walk and share this pain together. Because at some point when you get down enough on yourself, you're not going to have enough just in you to do it. Moses even had to have his hands lifted for victory to come. When his flesh was too weak to do it on his own, he had to have somebody. Jesus called forth disciples that could be of helpmates to him. Because he needed other people to go forth and minister the way he did. We can't do this by ourselves. We need each other tonight. Now close with this thought. You need hope renewed because you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. And I'm talking about rough situations with people. And I'm talking about facing death one day too. We need to know that all is well in our soul. And we need to live in renewed hope to where we'll have the compassion to ask somebody else other than us, is it well with you? What can I do to help you? That is pure ministry. When compassion comes out of you and you do something on the behalf of someone else, selfless to you, that is ministry. Ministry isn't a suit and tie, a name, a title, establishment, or foundation. It is compassion that comes forth out of somebody that moves for somebody. Let's renew each other by hope in Christ tonight.